face. He's such a good God. Looking into some of the scripture here this morning, and if you can open up your Bibles to Matthew we have given unto us a lot of precious things. We have life itself. That's a very, very precious thing. And the Lord doesn't want us to squander that life in an unwholesome way. I was thinking of that this morning when I was reading this scripture. A lot of times in the 7th chapter of Matthew, the 6th verse says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. A lot of times we think, well, people don't want it. Well, just don't cast your pearls before the swine. Just kind of let them go. They're swine. Oh, let's be careful now. How do you balance that scripture that says, sow beside all water? It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But I think there, and I'm not saying this scripture can't include that, folks, but I believe that there is something precious that the Lord has given every one of us, this very life, a soul, that we all have and we're responsible for. And oh, I believe Jesus is wanting to teach to them and to us today that don't cast that before the dogs.
I had some dogs back home when I was a boy that seemed like they were always in competition. You stepped out the back door with something, some scraps or something, they came running, and seemed like the first one got there. They wanted to grab it and scarf it down as fast as they're devouring. One time I took advantage of that. Parents had been gone, and I decided to try to make some candy, and I'd cooked it a little past the stage. I was trying to make some taffy, and it was cooler, and it got so hard that you couldn't pull it anymore, so I wanted to get rid of the evidence, and I stepped out the back door and called for the dogs, and here I had this wad. And the first dog came up there, and I just threw it down there, and with his nature, devouring nature, just... And, of course, he had his mouth stuck there for a while. But the point I want to get with that is that that's a nature. They want to grab. Don't you know the world is just like that, folks? The devil's like that. If you give him a little bit of opportunity, and he latches hold. And Jesus tells us, and you young folks growing up here, you children, oh, I see such potential. So does the devil. The devil's hanging around the back door waiting for you to whistle. And oh, if you give him just a little bit, give him any encouragement, he'll be right there and he'll nip at you. He'll get a hold. And Jesus said, don't give the devil anything. Don't cast what's precious to him. He's a devouring thing. God has a plan for your life. He has great hopes in you. When that lump of clay was formed and he watched you growing before you were born, and he was waiting for you to come and begin to grow, to breathe that, he was developing that life in you. And he knows, he loves that. Your life is precious unto the Lord. And you little ones, sometimes you don't understand yet, but as you grow up, we're looking for the Lord to open your understanding. We want you to see what's the greatest and the most precious thing that the Lord has given you. And don't give it to the dogs. Don't cast your pearls before the swine. They'll trample it. Don't give it to the devouring elements of the world. Those devouring elements will take what's precious and leave you with a hollow shell. Have we not seen people taking that path? We don't have to look very far before we have seen people. Sister Linda's over there nodding her head right now, and I think of her uncle, Dave. I was with him one time, and he called me, and he said he needed to talk with me, and I went over there, and we went out and kind of a lonely road where we could be alone, and got over there and got to talking, and he began to open up to me his need of his soul. And oh, we prayed, and it seemed like he got a hold of something, and he wanted to, but it didn't take long. He had been conducting his life in such a way that different substances had been his God. See, the dogs had got a hold of him. The precious, he had left it out there carelessly and whistled to the dogs. I want to tell you what, you whistle to the devil, he'll come running. You leave it out there for him, he'll get a hold of it. And oh, I think of David. After I'd prayed with him, it seemed like he got a hold of something. He got a start. It didn't take long for him to leave it out for the dogs again. The other day, I talked with David. Folks, it's dangerous to leave it out for the dogs. I talked to him and asked him how he was doing. A lot of times when I talk to people that I've had some very serious conversations with, and I ask them how you're doing, a lot of times they know I'm asking how you're doing spiritually. And I believe David knew. Now his answer was, well, I'm feeling a little better. His liver's all gone, folks. That's what his life is, that close. And he said, yeah, I've tried to be sober. I think I've been sober for about 6 months now, so they say they're going to get me a liver. His hope is in the wrong place. I said, Dave, you don't need a new liver. You need a new heart. That's where the problem is. But I want to tell you what's happened. The dogs have eaten so much that he almost doesn't know how to have faith anymore. It's a dangerous place, folks. Don't give the precious to the dog. Don't give the holy. Don't put it out there. Folks, what you have, that's a holy thing of God. Your very life. It's a holy thing that's been bequeathed to you from the God of heaven. And oh, I want to encourage us each one today. Sometimes in our minds we can think that I can go out there and enjoy things. And you can. Life is, God made these things for us to enjoy. But there are things, some things that encroach upon the moral character. Some things began to take away from the glory that God meant for our lives to express. Those things God wants you and I to reject. And but when we go out there and think that I can get involved in that, and the devil would like to cause us to start asking ourselves these questions, well, what's wrong with that? And reason our way into accepting all manner of things, that actually when we step back and begin to realize those things are taking away, they're hollowing me out, and they're devouring and trampling to the point that the pearls are muddy. You can't find it anymore. It's all down there. And God tells us today, don't do that. Don't take your pearls. Don't take the precious. Don't cast it to the devourer. Don't let the world trample what's precious. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Then he goes on and says, this is a good counsel. Ask. There's three particular points in this scripture. He said, ask, seek, and knock. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. You know what he's counseling us to do? Seek after the things of the Lord. Hunt for them. see the value in what is right. And then put our effort and our attention, instead of toward just the pleasures of this world, spend some time, pull yourself away from that and say, "Oh Lord, thank you for what you've given me. Help me to know how to bring myself into subjection. I want to give this to you." You remember what Solomon said after he had that kingdom? And the Lord said, "You can ask anything that you want." He dedicated the temple. The Lord said, "Ask it." You know what he asked? He said, "Lord, I need wisdom." He could have asked for a lot, asked for wealth, could have asked for a lot of other things, but I want to tell you, if he would have asked those things, for those things, they would have been a weight around his neck. But he chose the good. "Lord, I need some wisdom. I need something from you." That's what God wants you and I to seek. Not just human wisdom, but the wisdom from above. I want your ways, Lord. He says, "Ask and seek and knock, and it'll be given to you. The door will be open. If you hunt for it, you'll be found. You can find it. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds. And to him that's knocked, that will knock, it'll be opened to him." I know I said that verse kind of in my words, but that's what it's saying here. Let's go on down now. One of the reasons why the Lord wants us to be very, very careful. God would want us to recognize what we're getting involved in. He wants us to prevent the destruction of our soul and getting involved in things that would harm us. And he says this, gives us this counsel. This is Jesus' words, 13th verse. "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction." You know what he's saying? Most people's not going to go this way. In fact, most people are going to take the way that will please their own passions. Most people. So if you're going to follow the crowd today, more than likely you'll be taking a dangerous path. So there's another path that God wants us to seek for. When we come up to these places, knock, Lord. Where should we knock? What door is he talking about? Oh, on your knees when you're begging, "Lord, where's the way?" Begin to knock on heaven's door. "Lord, open up unto me." And I want to tell you, he won't leave us ignorant. And he won't leave us as wayfaring, just unclaimed. He owns those who knock. "This is my child. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll knock and it'll be opened unto you." Now, then he says, "Enter in into the straight gate." That one that is aside from the elements of destruction. It takes you away from all that would hollow out your soul. Lead you in a path of righteousness. Lead you in a path of the eternal life. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life, and that more abundantly." That's the path that he wants to lead you in. It's away from the frivolity of the world. Seek. Enter into the straight gate. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And then the 14th verse says, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life." And he said, "There's few that find that." I want to be one of those few. How about you? Are you willing to put forth the effort this morning? Or are we going to just relax? I want to tell you, folks, my father used to tell me this over and over. He said, "Any old dead fish can float down the stream, but it takes a live one to swim up." And I want to tell you, the stream that the world is, the flood that's flowing down, the direction they're taking today is not the one into eternal life. And it's going to take something and a determination in our heart to go against this flow. And it's going to be more than just human determination. There needs to be a life. The life of God within us. That flow, that swims against the grain. That sees the value of this thing. And all you young ones, my heart, my burden is especially, I want everybody to get a hold of this, but I want our young ones to get a hold and see the value of doing what's right.
Yes,
I want to see our young ones get a hold of the great, precious thing that God, He calls us unto His righteousness, unto His salvation, unto His ways. Oh, see the value of that, young folks. Invest your heart in the Lord. I've seen right here in this, the youthful part of our life, when I was in your, I know what the devil was trying to do, and I know what he already did before I got saved. And I know the things the devil wants to destroy. He would like to cause us to have a mindset of just only pleasing of the flesh, and that never works well in a marriage. If you want to have a sure divorce, please yourself all the time. If you want to be unhappy in life, set out to please yourself all the time. I had someone tell me here in this meeting, somebody I didn't know well, but I met them and was around them some. In a meeting up here, I believe it was in the, around 74, over in Minnesota. This individual came and heard the Word of God, and they were pricked in their heart, and they came to the altar. And I remember the tears and the sweetness that they got up from that altar, how they felt, and the joy, and their testimonies in some of the subsequent meetings after that. But something entered in. There was a bitterness that grew in their heart. Their husband left them. A lot of things began to grow in there. And I understand today, if you want to try to talk with that individual, that they don't care for anybody. This individual was beautiful. She had the outward appearance. She was a very beautiful, sweet person. But something happened. She left the precious out for the dogs. It says, seek, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Put the value on the good things. And I want to tell you, young folks, all of us, I want to tell you, though, the Lord wants to give you life more abundantly. The devil, though, would like to take what you have right now and cause you to make a few bad decisions in your youth and begin to build on something that would eventually destroy all your hopes and cause you to live in a house closed up with bitterness in your heart. No friends anymore. That's not a happy life. So don't set out to please yourself. Seek. Go against the grain. Seek the things of the Lord. Enter into the straight gate. Now I want to go on down. The reason why it's so important. At the first part of this chapter, he deals with, he says, judge not that ye be not judged. And there's a place where God doesn't want us to be abrasive and go out and judge our fellow man. There's places that only God owns. There's also places where God expects us to recognize righteous judgment and understanding where truth is. And the reason why it's important for us to recognize, especially for ourselves, where truth and righteousness is that it's possible for us to live our whole life being very active in what I feel like might be right. I might do it all for the wrong reason, maybe for selfish purposes. And sometimes you hear, I use it too. I believe they love the Lord, and I'm grateful for that. But it's not always so. And this latter part right here of this chapter
starting with 21st verse, it causes me to realize it's not so, and it also causes me to have a high caution in my own soul. Listen to it now as we read. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. I'm thinking right now, Lord, help me to enter into the straight gate. Help me to enter into where you are, Lord. Because not everyone that says, Lord, Lord. I'm repeating it, folks. This is what Jesus said. And I believe the Son of God would be telling us the truth. He said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord. It's going to take more than just a topical lip service to this thing, folks. It's going to take more than our activities. We can come up here, Brother Marty and I can come up here and have a tent meeting, maybe go other places in meeting. I want to tell you what, it's going to take more than that. We can go and feel like we've done a lot of good. And listen to what they did. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Sounds like they had some things. Well, Lord, we worked real hard for you. We've done a lot of things. You know, that's not enough. That by itself is not enough. Did you know we can do it sometimes for all the wrong reasons? We can do it out of carnal desires to be noticed. And folks, His glory He won't give to another. We've got to be in a place, and Lord help us, and I cry for myself here, Lord, I want to be in that place where Ivan is out of the way. And when I stand up here, that somehow it'll come across to you that we have a real love for the Lord and you'll see Jesus Christ in me. I am well aware that my abilities fall so short. I went this morning, I need the Lord desperately. And so do you. I feel many times like Moses that said he was of a stammering tongue, didn't have the ability. I'll tell you folks, I know that's who I am. Sometimes I wonder why the Lord called me. Should have left me out there herding the sheep still. An old farm boy. But this much I know. The Lord has changed something inside me. And I want the other people to have that so badly. But in all of our efforts, God wants you and I to be in a place that He can put a stamp of approval on it. Listen, the reason why it's very important, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. I want to be, when I lay this body down, I want to be able to go up there with a clear conscience and stand before Him and He say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I'd like to be one of those who say, well, Lord, when was it that I did that? He said, as much as you did it to the least of these, mom did it unto me. We don't need to have the person, the claim. We don't need to have everybody praising us, folks. Except I need to know that I'm accepted at the throne of my Heavenly Father. And I'm not here today to please you or to please me. My greatest desire in my heart is, Father, I want to please you. If you can just show me, Lord, I want to please you. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does my Father's will. And I want to be one of those. He said, many will say, and oh, there's a place today, perhaps it's not my place to judge you, or I can't tell you where you are. Only God can do that. But God wants us to judge ourselves. Today's a good day to stand before the Lord and honestly say, Lord, where am I? Search me, O Lord. Try my heart. See my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me. Isn't that a good prayer? Wouldn't that be a good thing? It's a good time today to say, Lord, try my ways. I don't want to be one of these that would come up to the end and he would have to say, "We never did have a knowing. You didn't know me, and I didn't know you." This was the response here. They said, "Didn't we do many mighty works? Didn't we cast out devils? Didn't we prophesy? Didn't we preach in your name, Lord?" And this is the response that the Lord had. And then will I profess unto them, "I never knew you." What a terrible thing. Folks, there is something I said a while ago about that person that I had saw years ago. But I can't tell you I knew them. I was acquainted. But my wife and I have lived together for 27 years. And I can just about tell you that I know her. We spent some time together. And if somebody says something over here, or we can be in a situation where somebody will say something, and she might be on the other side of the room and I'm on this one, and we can look at each other and we know what each other's thinking. We know how we respond, how that's coming across, because we spent some time together. You know what he's talking about here in this knowing? He said, "You never spent time with me. I never spent time with you." Something was missing. You did a lot of things, but there's one thing you missed. We didn't sit down and get married. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about a union. There was the knowing was missing. The time spent together. When, you see, if they would have really spent time with him, they'd have done some of those works differently. They'd have done it differently. Or maybe some things they wouldn't have done at all. Because the Father would have been saying, "Oh, let's wait. The timing's different."
Oh, sometimes I say, "Lord, help me be in your time. I don't want to get ahead of it." Sometimes I get this anxious feeling, "Well, we've got to do something." And that's not really good enough, folks. We need to sit here and wait and say, "Lord, I want to move when you say it." You know what that comes to? A knowing. That comes to spending time. And that's of utmost importance, because, folks, when we neglect the time spent with the Lord, when we neglect the knowing, we are in danger of coming to this point of our life and standing before Him and He says, "I don't know you." Now, God knows everyone. But it's on a different level than what he's talking about here. We didn't have that. And I'm desperate in an honest, hungry seeking of the Lord. I've got to have the knowing. All right. Now I'm going to go over back into the previous chapter. Jesus said, this is part of the attitude. Seek ye first, well, let's go to that verse, the 33rd chapter of the previous verse. He said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." Now, in this seeking, I was thinking about that this morning in reference to the 7th verse, "Ask and, it shall be given. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it'll be open." I was thinking, Lord, what are we talking about, this seeking? And my eyes fell over here. How do we seek? And my eyes fell over here on this verse, the 9th verse of Matthew, the 6th chapter. And Jesus began to teach people how to pray. This is the way you seek. "Father, our Father which art in heaven, I see you as great and mighty and sweet and drawing. My Father, Abba, which art in heaven, hallowed, you're precious to me. You're sweet. Hallowed be thy name. in the seeking. Now, that's what we're talking about. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Where? Yes, I want everybody to have that kingdom. But first of all, thy kingdom come in me. Thy will be done in this earth. Me. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, there's no resistance to his will in heaven. So I say now, Lord, break down my resistance. Anything that's not like you, anything that would hinder your free working in my life, Lord, expose it and remove it. Thy will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. Give me today. And I don't know, perhaps he was talking about the bodily, the physical food, but I'm thinking today about the spirit. Give me, Lord, my spiritual food today. I need to have your enlivening force within my heart. I need your Holy Spirit. Give me today my daily food. And he said, forgive the places that I don't understand. What did he say? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Those places that I owe, sometimes I don't even realize I owe you. Forgive me, Lord, for not paying that. Help me, Lord, to pay my debt of love, my debt of reaching out, of blessing my fellow man. Forgive me, Lord. You know why? 14th verse says, for if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. I need the Lord's mercy. But if we forgive not men their trespasses, neither will our heavenly Father, will our Father forgive your trespasses. But then, let's go on now to this 33rd verse again. In all of the things of life, and all your hopes, young people, and children as you grow up, the hopes and desires of your future, I want to tell you this is the greatest counsel that we could heed. It said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And God wants to give you the precious things of life. God wants to develop you and ripen you to the point that He can invest in you the greatest blessings of life. Did you know that? But He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Say, but I want a pretty wife. I want a sweet home. Did you know, delight yourself in the way, in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Oh, I'm not saying that He's going to give you that brand new boat. Be careful that you don't desire it to just to consume upon your own lust. But you know what? If you delight yourself in the Lord, He'll create right desires. And then it's His pleasure to give us of those desires. He wants you to have a happy home. He wants you to have a peaceful life. He wants you to have peace. He doesn't necessarily want you to be rich. Sometimes He entrusts people with riches. But sometimes, folks, be careful. Those riches, a lot of times, have barbs in them. But He wants you to have the precious things of life. And those precious things of life are peace in my soul. There's a song I remember right now. Acres of diamonds, mountains of gold. You remember that one? Put you on the spot, didn't I? Yes. But it talks about all these things. A conscience that's free. So in the song, it contrasts all the great things that we might see. Acres of diamonds, mountains of gold. Do you think that ought to satisfy anyone? But it doesn't. None of those could buy the sweetness when I pillow my head and know that my soul's ready.
hard-working man. And his efforts provided for us. Didn't ever have any want when we was growing up. We did well. Weren't rich. I'm not saying that at all. We didn't have any want. Did well. And my father worked hard, but he came down toward the end of his life and realized that he had neglected his soul. He knew it all along, but he realized, especially down toward the end of his life, that he had neglected his soul. And I remember one night, we got ready to go to services, and he said he wasn't doing well at all, wasn't feeling good. And I told him we was going to be praying for him. And I remember when I got home that evening, I went and asked him how he was doing. And he said, "I'm feeling a lot better." He said, "I wasn't sick in my body." He said, "I was sick in my soul." He said, "I've been talking to the Lord." Folks, all your human efforts can't buy what you need in times like that. It's really, these things are a fleeting value. At best, they're only going to last you till you die. At best. And when you're going to lay down and die, somebody else will have it. Isn't that what Solomon said? You can spend your life gathering together, and at best, you're going to lay down and give it to someone else. That's right. That's right. The wisdom of God says to you and I today, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And folks, it'll go contrary to the great flow of humanity. But enter into the straight gate. In the straight gate, there's life. The broad way is the one that leads to destruction. I want to encourage us each one today, especially you young folks, invest in the Lord. Put your whole life, bank up your future. In fact, bank with abandon. Bank your whole future. Put all your eggs in this one basket. Say, "Lord, I want you more than anything else." It may not be wise in financial dealings, but when you're dealing with the spiritual matters, it's wise to bank. Put all your eggs in one basket. Say, "Lord, I want you." Go counter to the flow of carnal humanity. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Thank the Lord for that this morning. I want to encourage you to let the Lord have control of your life. And if you and I both do that, we can come to the end, stand up before the Lord. He'll say, "I know you. I saw you when you gave that cup of water. I saw you when you cared about your fellow man. Lord, when did I do that? Well, as much as you did to the least of these, you did it unto me. Come now, bless, oh Father. Enter into your rest." Folks, that'll mean that all that's worth it all when we come to that point and we feel accepted. At that point, we'll see how absolutely frivolous the mountains of gold and the acres of diamonds are. How absolutely fleeting. Oh, please, today, invest your whole life.